The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming to you.' If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it occurs, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy God, may the word proclaimed today, the people that we are, and the words that we say bring glory to you and you alone in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like today to weave together two threads. One thread is part of the gospel that we just read that says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives." That's the first thread. The other is this. I saw the phrase intimate communication among believers somewhere, and I immediately latched onto it. I liked it. It's the other thread. So in other words, what I'm wanting to do today is have an intimate conversation with you believers about the peace of the Lord. Intimate is a word that throws us a little bit. We hear of it, we hear it, we say it, and I think immediately, I don't think I'm the only one who thinks relationships and possibly sexual intimacy. That's not what I'm talking about, and you'll be very grateful that I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about intimacy that is relating to one's deepest nature, like intimate prayers. It was 1 year ago tomorrow that I noticed my skin was yellow, jaundiced, and a CAT scan that very next morning showed a gallstone. Well, it wasn't a gallstone, as we all know. It was a cancerous tumor. Life changed. Lots of challenges, lots of bumps in the road. And the question many would ask would be, where is the peace of God in all of this? Lots of you know traumatic, difficult changes in relationships, bad work environments, lots of bad work environments, school bullying, a rocky marriage or turmoil. Nothing seems quite right anymore. Love, where did it go? Where is the peace of God in all of this? Loneliness, missing a loved one terribly, whether recently or 10, 20, 30 years ago, a spouse, a child, a dear and precious friend. Where is the peace of God in all of this? And chronic physical pain. I know emotional pain is devastating and difficult, but chronic, day by day, physical pain. People asking, will it ever stop? Fear increasing. Where is the God? Where is the peace of God in that? And yet, two words that theologian Douglas John Hall says, two of the most critical words in the language, in the Christian language. And yet, we hear Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, say as part of what it is called his intimate communication with disciples, this last discourse before he went to the cross, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you." Remember Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." And Prince of Peace. Remember this incident after the resurrection, the disciples together, doors locked, fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came somehow among them, and what did he say? "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." Do we really know what it means to receive the peace of the Lord? Not, as Jesus said, the peace the world gives. And you know, Jesus does not really explain it in this communication with the disciples. We say intimate refers to our deepest nature. And when I think of our deepest nature, being a visual person, I think of water. I think of the ocean. I think of walking along the seashore and seeing the ocean, seeing the waves, but realizing we're only seeing the surface of the water. And I wonder what would happen if we did what some adventurous members of Trinity Lutheran Church have done, and that is, what if we went scuba diving, jumped into the water, and went deeper and deeper and deeper? The experience we would have would be that of a brand new world, a new view, a new perspective, coral reefs, variety of fish too numerous to imagine. Things we would never have seen if we didn't go deeper into the water. So I'm thinking, what would happen if we challenged ourselves, as many of you do, to plunge deeper into our theology, into our God talk, into our God walk? I was at a training Friday morning at Lancaster Theological Seminary, where Dr. Carey is professor. I was with the head chaplain of SCI, State Correctional Institution, at Camp Hill. And we were there to be trained and certified to be supervisors for seminarians from there who wanted to be placed in an institution, a prison setting, as part of their internship training. And it was there that, very exhilarating for me, I was reminded how seminarians are challenged over and over again to go deeper into their thinking and their reflecting about all aspects of their seminary experience. After all, they're being formed as Christian leaders. They were in the process of shaping a life of faith. They're in the process of integrating everything they've learned in life itself with their new role to be. But then I realized, as exciting as that was, you don't need to go to seminary for that. Does not the church seek to help us process and shape who we are as Christians? Isn't that what Christian education is all about? And Patty's back there shaking her head. We, as disciples of Christ, are about learning and grasping the words of Christ. Colossians 3, "Let the words of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts." We're about intimately communicating with believers to shape who we are on the basis of what Jesus says. That's what Table Talk is all about after this service today and the first Sunday of the month, shaping our conversation on who we are as Christians. But how does the fact that Jesus gives us the gift of peace, how does that shape us? How does that form us? What kind of Christian is the church developing in this postmodern world? Let's talk about it. Let's have an intimate conversation about this. And as we talk, we discover the challenge is not finding the peace of God. The peace of God is not some kind of journey. The peace of God is accepting the acceptance of being found. The peace of God is the acceptance of being found. The challenge is in receiving it, the peace of the Lord. It is a gift. Peace I give to you. Peace I give to you. But how and when and what does it look like? Well, if you turn to your back of your bulletin, the worship ministry is periodically putting in inserts or pages where we can learn more about worship. Dan Sigmund and I are working on that together. And I did this sheet for today. I want to suggest God and God's word does give us an example of what the peace of God would look like. The second paragraph down, Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount says, if there's difficulties with brothers or sisters in Christ, what does Jesus say to do in the word? Get together. Don't come to the altar first. Go to your brother or sister in Christ. Clear it up, because God's way is reconciliation and peace. This is a glimpse of the peace of God. This does tell us what it looks like and what it feels like. It's different. It's different from the world's way. It's a way of reconciliation. The peace of the Lord is something that we know it when we have it. It's the hug at just the right time. No words are spoken. It's the holding of the hand or the touching of the hand just when you needed it. It's reaching the point of surrender. It's saying to God, I can't do this anymore. I have nothing left. And then it's taking a deep breath and letting it go and turning it over to another gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, called the Comforter, to intercede for us. It is the comfort that comes to us when we share confidentially with someone we can trust. It is for me, and I remember this always, the comfort, the peace of going into major surgery last June, knowing that I was being prayed for in the chapel, going into that surgery with absolute peace. It's the calming influence, even, ready, from dogs. Oops, let me explain that. Lutheran Church Charities, canine comfort dogs. I learned about this on the news several weeks ago. Dogs trained, by the way, by inmates in Illinois to visit trauma victims all over the country. But listen to their philosophy. A dog is a friend who brings a calming influence, allowing people to open up their hearts and receive help for what is affecting them. Calming influence, allowing opening of the heart to receive help. They've been to Boston. They've been to Newtown, Connecticut for the shooting victims. They've been to places devastated by Hurricane Sandy. And get this, each dog carries a business card with its name. I can hardly say this without laughing. A Facebook page, a Twitter account, and an email address. But basically what they're doing is they're sharing mercy and compassion and, dare I say, peace, the peace of Christ in a crisis situation. They see children respond magnificently to this. Children who have lost a loved one, tight, not engaged, with a pet in the room will open up, be able to receive the help, be able to talk more and communicate. Could we not say the peace of the Lord means God bringing a comfort, a calmness into whatever storm we are in, with the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and making us, enabling us better to bear it, whatever it is. John's gospel is called the Good News for a reason, because Jesus doesn't say, if you do such and such, I will give you peace. He just does it to anyone, anywhere. Lutherans like to call this grace. So you know when you have it, and you know when you don't. It's when we just get so frustrated. We say, no one should have to live like this. Where are you, God, with this disease, this mental illness, this war scenario, these refugee camps? There are people all over the place who used to come to church who got hurt at some point and went the way of the world. They simply left. Perhaps it was a meeting, a new ministry meeting, where they did not feel welcome. Perhaps it was an encounter where they're serving others, where there was a misunderstanding. Perhaps there was a miscommunication that stirred up anger. I met a man years ago who stopped coming to a church because of a disagreement over who made the coffee in fellowship. But usually this is what we see on the surface. Usually there are underlying reasons not dealt with over the years, not healed. Look again on the back of your bulletin. In the upper left-hand corner is a painting by Lily Kate Light. I had to buy this when Trinity had a First Friday years ago and our artists had some of their works shown. I just knew, I just loved this. I had to buy it. And this is what I love about it. You can't really tell a lot from this because it's small, but we brought it over and it's in the back in the narthex for you to get a better view. To me, the main object in this painting is God's bountiful creation, the beauty of flowers that only God can make. It's standing out, it's central, God's beautiful creation, God's love for us. But then you look in the lower left-hand corner. Like I said, you can't see it too clearly on this, but what it is a torn photo and a torn letter, a symbol of pain. Pain of life. This is how I'm interpreting it. This is what it means to me. It doesn't not dominate the painting, but it's there nevertheless. It will not prevail, the message is saying to me, because God will always prevail in his graciousness in the kingdom of God. But it is there. It is there. I was struck by what appears to be the story behind the theme we will sing next, When Peace Like a River. The words were written by Horatio Spafford, who lost his fortune in real estate in the Chicago Fire of 1871. But even worse, sometime later, when his wife was taking their four daughters to Europe, ahead of him, there was a shipwreck. 226 people lost, including their four children. So when his wife arrived in Europe and London, she sent a telegram, saved alone. So when he came, we got on a ship to go to be with his wife. The story goes that when they came to the spot where the ship was lost, the captain pointed that out to him, that it was the spot where he lost his children. And the story goes that later that night, he penned the words that we will soon sing, "It is well with my soul." But the story doesn't end there. Years later, when they had three more children, their four-year-old son died of pneumonia. So due to these enormous tragedies, and combined with a strong sense of religious call, they took a small group and moved to Jerusalem, forming an American colony. As I kept reading, I kept expecting they lived happy ever after ending. That doesn't happen. He died before his wife, but both died in Israel. Not before rigid rules, as I understand it, dominated the colony. A lot of sense of hard control. And that often happens when we feel out of control with things happen in our own life. We seek some place we can control, and the colony eventually closed. Well, Frederick Buechner, who's a favorite writer and theologian of mine, said in relation to this very story, and I quote, "I suspect that it is by entering that deep place inside of us where our secrets are kept that we come perhaps closer than we do anywhere else to the one who, whether we realize it or not, is of all our secrets the most telling and the most precious we have to tell." Buechner's own father committed suicide when he was just a boy, but he entered that secret place, that intimate sharing, that communication in his writings when he wrote about it, being connected with believers, being open to receiving the peace of God. A secret of mine, sometimes I'm praised by y'all for having faith to get through this medical journey this last year. A secret of mine is when I get a pain now that I find troubling, that I find worrisome, I get scared. I am afraid. I'm afraid that this is a reoccurrence, that this is not going to end this time favorably. It is a fear. I need to intimately communicate that to a fellowship of believers I can trust so that my heart can be open to receiving the healing and the encouragement and the prayers of those with whom I worship. So let us talk God. Let us talk God's peace together. Let us speak to the pain within us and the joys. Let us discover what theological themes dominate or are prominent in our own lives. Is it God is good? God is trustworthy? God is a mystery. God is a peace I will never understand, but I will receive it. Notice how many times in our service we say peace. We share the peace of the Lord, especially on Communion Sundays. And lots of times people are uncomfortable with that. I want to encourage you that sharing God's peace is sharing God's hope, God's unity, God's grace, that we're being reminded each time we share it, and we need the reminders that the peace of God is a gift to us. We say it in the benediction sometimes, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. We end our worship with it. Go in. It doesn't say go in love or grace or forgive. It says go in peace. Serve the Lord. We are all so different. Male, female, different ages, Republicans, Democrats, independents, young, old, starting our first job, retiring, healthy, not so healthy. Those of us with a sense of humor, those of us without, and on and on and on. But this one thing we have in common, Jesus Christ has given to each of us, has given to each of us the gift of the peace of the Lord. May we unwrap it individually and as a community together over and over again. Amen.